Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And then we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Latter times, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Last days. All right, so we started in Sunday school a series on eschatology. Broken down into plain English is the doctrine of last things. And we did that about 7 weeks ago while I was filling in for Bob, who was taking care of March. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. That is not trying to tell you that you need to say this over and over and over again. We know that repetition is theological glue, but it's also theological error. It can be error if you say the same things over and over again. For instance, in Revelation 3, the church of Ephesus, there were the deeds of the Nicolaitans. By the time we got to the church of Pergamos, it was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So they kept repeating this. They kept in power. And by the time they got to Pergamos, it was a doctrine. Many things today are doctrine that are wrong. And it's because they were never tackled beforehand. But this is not saying, keep saying things that, and eventually they'll become sound doctrine. This means, becoming means enhancing. So the doctrine is there. All we have to do is believe it. And so we are trying to enhance it and make it not something that it's not, but what it is. And so to date, we started a series and we dealt with physical death, what it is and what it's not. It's separation of the body from the soul and spirit. It is not soul sleep, and it is not ceasing to exist. Two of the more prevalent theories today, which are completely false. We spoke about the bodily resurrection as a fact, and its nature and its time. And we know that there is a bodily resurrection for everyone, but in different phases. We spoke about the intermediate state. Where did dead people go? Where did the dead go? Before the cross, at the time of the cross, and after the cross, I think is important. The second coming of Christ in its two phases, and we are currently dealing with the person of the Antichrist. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And for everybody that's been in Sunday school, so this is a lot of review, although some of you may have missed the beginning. And so this is an easy way to catch up. Although this, what we did here was the previous Sunday morning, some of it. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 18. Little children, who's he writing to? Believers, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. So essential to an understanding of dealing with the antichrist, you must know that there is an antichrist. And there are many lesser antichrists. By definition, an antichrist is an opponent, an enemy. It is not just a position that you take. There is action to this position. And these are people, he is a person that is detrimental to the truth of God's word and to your Christian lives, my Christian life. Anything that's pure, righteous, holy, the Antichrist are against. And of course, the Antichrist, once he's on the scene, will be against as well. Groups and people, these are groups and people that do something very easy, that deny the deity of Christ. They are antichrists. They're not the Antichrist. Ultimately, he will also do that, but these are just antichrists, Jehovah Witnesses. They rewrite the scriptures, and they add things that are never there, take away things that are there, and make it easy for their followers, who they never will sit down with you and show you or allow you to go through and compare scripture with scripture. They just don't believe it. Listen, the leadership are antichrist. And once these people get out and they get acclimated in this, they become antichrist. You can talk with them on current events if you want to. You can talk with them about their magazine or whatever it is that they give out, all you want to. You can talk about the 144,000. You can talk about blood transfusions. But you need to go to the heart of the issue, and that is the deity of Christ and salvation by grace through faith. That's it. That's all we have to talk about. And every single time, they'll say, John 14:28. Who's Christ praying to? He's praying to the Father. Well, see, he's not the Father. So not only they deny his deity, they deny his humanity. When you think about it, they deny everything about him. So can you explain how the Son can speak to the Father when, in fact, he is? Of course, does that mean we reject it? No. So the Mormons are like that. Your Eastern Oriental religions are like that. Christian Science, Unity, atheists, they're all like that. They all deny cardinal truths of the Word of God and more, of course. So more importantly, let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We spoke to the person of the Antichrist, and we mentioned a number of people or religious groups that are equated with the Antichrist. A number of people in history have been thought to be the Antichrist. We're going to get into some of those and they're duplications in many cases of what we've already done. This is a very important verse 13:18. Here is wisdom. Right? You don't have to ask for wisdom here. God is giving it to you. You don't have to ask in faith. He's just giving it to you, black and white. This is easy to understand. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, which is the Antichrist. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So the Antichrist will be a man. And the lesser Antichrists are men and women. And you have to understand that. But the Antichrist is not some supernatural creature. He is just a man that is possessed by Satan. And you must understand, because of the number and the arrangement of the number, basically we're saying this three times. Remember when you, and maybe you didn't learn this in marketing, but a marketing technique is always to repeat something three times, especially telephone numbers. He is a man. He is a man. He's a man. The people on earth that are living in this time. You say, well, this is irrelevant to me. Not if you have lost loved ones. Because they will believe that he is more than a man. They will believe he is God. Some will even believe he's Christ. They're going to believe that. So this is important. We also spoke to his titles. And go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you. And who is the master deceiver? The devil, of course, by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In this verse, we have two titles. Number one, the man of sin. The man of sin, he is the sum total of every sin that has ever been committed or will ever be committed in their oneness or their complexity and their multitudes, and they will be embodied and manifested in him. That is, when we talk about the ultimate evil, absolute evil, he is absolute evil. The man of sin. And the second one is the son of perdition. The son of damnation. Only one other person has been called this, and that is the person that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot, who also was possessed by Satan himself. Don't ever get to entertain the idea, well, Judas was a saved man, and then he just got caught up in the moment. No, he was never a saved man. He was never one of his. And if you read John 6 and you go through 37, 39 and some of these other places, you know he was never one of his. All right. And then we looked at some forerunners to the Antichrist, types of the Antichrist. And I'm just going to run this a real quick list off. We're not going to get anywhere tonight. Cain, Nimrod, King Saul, Absalom, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the first world ruling power. The Antichrist will be the last world ruling power before the millennium. There will be no more world ruling powers after the Antichrist other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will be forever. Antiochus Epiphanes, there were five of them. This is the fourth. He was a Syrian. He desecrated the temple and a number of other things. But he was a type of this one to come, which we know will do the same. Alexander the Great, he sought to be worshipped as God. And Caligula, Roman Empire, thought to be mad, thought to be insane. The Antichrist will be both of those. He will be all of this together. Nero, the early church believed that Nero, if he was to be killed, would rise from the dead. Well, the Antichrist, let me say this from the, might be. All right, because there's a word in that section. I don't know if I'll get to this or not. Personally, I don't believe he died. It was a wound, as it were, to death. What does that word as mean? It's a type. And then Benny Hinn showed up. Or one of these other faith healers. And they completed the scam. Oh, he rose from the dead. I don't think he was dead. Read it carefully. Revelation 13. A wound as it were to death. Is it to death? No, as it were. So take it for what it's worth. All right, so that takes us to where we left off. 7 weeks and 15 minutes. That's pretty good. I should have done that in the class. They probably would have liked that. There's a lot of information that I've given out, and it's important that you grasp, that I hope you grasp, the speeding train that I'm on. Not that I'm on any schedule, not that I have a curfew, not that Bob's discs are too small, that they can't handle all this, but so that you know what's going on. And so I told people the week before, I told you this morning, if you have a question, slow me down. It's okay. You ask, I'll repeat it, the question, and if we can answer it, we'll answer it, so there's not a whole lot of dead time. And if I ask questions, don't hesitate to answer them. I was in a rescue mission, and in the rescue mission in Great Falls, Montana, you gave them the scripture before they could eat. And if there was no lesson, then I don't know what they did, but they had to come to the meeting. So as my manner was back then and sometimes today is, I'm dealing with the person of Samson, and I asked a question. And sure enough, there's a man and a woman right where Sherry and Mike are sitting, and she answered me correctly. Oh, here comes the superintendent, and he's waddling down the aisle, and he shakes his finger on her, and he says, "You don't speak." I said, "It's okay." And he turned around and went back. So I get going, I ask another question, not right away. And she answered it again. And you know what? He picked them up and he moved them out. He wouldn't let them eat that night because they answered a question. So you don't have any fear here. Nobody's going to do that that I know of. And I just, you know, that's an amazing thing. All right, so we're dealing with last things. We're talking about forerunners. Charlemagne was a forerunner. Great warrior. A great statesman. So will the Antichrist be. Now, there may be little things that I'm picking out, but these are important because not everybody in history was a type of Antichrist, but a lot more were types than we realize. I look at the last president. And I see them. I looked before him and before him and before him. There's certain things you can pick out. Not that you're trying to grasp at straws and saying they're all like that. It's just you see something. Napoleon, he wanted to revive the Holy Roman Empire. That was one of his goals. And so this figurative empire was made up by countries whose, in the terms that they used, winds were washed by the Mediterranean Sea, as pertaining to the Roman Empire. And so he wanted to do that. He never did. But he also planned a Jewish nation, a kingdom for themselves and the Sadducees. I never could figure out the connection there, but that's what he wanted to do. Well, the Antichrist, as the great deceiver, will try much of what Napoleon tried. Remember, in deception, because that's important. A Jewish state, but not for very long. Kaiser Wilhelm in Germany, same objective as Noah, but he required every general to carry a map of the Roman Empire, for whatever reason. Mussolini also made a map of the Roman Empire, but he included England. England didn't want any part of it and said, take it off. He wouldn't. The Antichrist, I think, is going to map out several empires as one nation and then combine them into 10. I always thought, years ago, that Mexico, the United States, and Canada would form one nation. They still could if the current president was not there. That has been in the works for how many decades? And so this is another reason why this individual is so hated. But remember, everything here, what is spoken of the Western Hemisphere in Scripture? Is it any of it spoken of at all? And isn't the Holy Roman Empire all, like Napoleon said, the surrounding the Mediterranean Sea, basically, and a nation in? Everything you read in Scripture, where is it all taking place? Is it taking place in South America or in the United States? No, it's all over there. Everything's over there. What's going to happen to us? I have no idea. His work, he's energized by the devil. He's ruling the world and making every attempt to exterminate the Jew and believers as well. So we'll look at a few passages here. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And as Micah spoke about this morning, you have to understand that everything that you read through Daniel, except for obviously prophetic passages, most of what's in here is historical, but it also carries a prophetic value as a type. So Daniel chapter 7, look at verse 24 and 25. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times of dividing of time. So wearing out the saints of the Most High is not making them tired. It's getting rid of them. It's killing them, destroying them. Chapter 8. And look at verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and to destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand. And shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of pieces, but he shall prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Again, this is talking about the work of this one to come. And chapter 11, and you go down here to verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. So when we talk about absolute evil, we're all talking about absolute power and power to work evil and concentrated power. There's a focus there, not only to bring the world together under this one ruler, but to destroy any semblance of righteousness and Jewish people. In Revelation 12, he knows that when he comes down, he's got a short time, and the malice and the hatred is mighty. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Crime today is not like crime when I was young. Crime back then, you did something, you could hide in the woods. You could hide, with the infrared. There's no hiding. I mean, There's no way to run to. It's like the children's song. Oh, sinner man, where are you going to run? Where are you going to run to, oh, sinner man? There's nowhere to run. And in this day, you can't make it there. And it is what it is. He will do what it says. Just the way we're looking, all right? So knowing his work, then obviously the man has to come from somewhere. The man has to be born. He has to be born a child. And so I think his birth would be obscure as any other birth anywhere else on the face of the earth. And that he would begin as a mere man in world affairs. No attention, nothing special about him. And again, possibly already happening. Would you agree the world's getting crazier every day? And we're getting more and more set up for someone to come and calm the storm. And then somehow I just look at it as the promotion is very rapid. And then ruler of the world. I mean, like, we were all taken by surprise. Or they're all taken by surprise. We know that he confirms the covenant with Israel in Daniel chapter 9. We might as well go there. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, which lends itself to speaking toward the dating system of when the Lord would come, the Messiah would come. But then it goes beyond that, verse 27. And this is talking about the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, something has to happen in the world for this individual to make a treaty with the nation of Israel for a week, 7 years. Something, they have to do something. There's all kinds of great ideas. It could be the end of Exodus, Ezekiel 38 and 39. I mean, they could have obliterated and annihilated Russia off the face of the earth. And so everybody now would be dead set to go against Israel. They could take over the Temple Mount. That would drive people insane. That would drive insane people more insane. I mean, there's a number of things that they can do that will just set people off, or they could do nothing. And whatever happens, a covenant is made, a treaty is made for 7 years. All right, so what does that mean? It means that this individual recognizes the Mosaic covenant that was made with Israel. And for 3.5 years, the Jews will have a new temple. They will have messianic worship again, like they've not had, and they will sacrifice. The sacrificial system will be reinstituted. I mean, everything, they'll put down their weapons and everything else. Everything looks good, and it's hard for me even in thinking of a nation that will be 70 years old this May to fathom that they're in the land in unbelief. They're still in unbelief. They reject Christ, and they don't believe in the God of their fathers. The world conditions will exist at that particular time. There will be the ultimate social depravity. Rejection of any kind of righteousness whatsoever. In order to satisfy the lust of the flesh. There will be spiritual apostasy in the absolute sense as well. I mean, if you didn't have the two witnesses and the 144,000, you would have no witness at all. You would have nobody going anywhere to give out the gospel whatsoever. But you do. And the Lord always, as he always does, he always leaves somebody to be able to do this. But they're not going to be you and me. They're going to be Jewish. And where's their primary focus? To Jews. but yet Gentiles are going to get saved. So what is Israel waiting for? Say, well, they're waiting for the Messiah to come for the first time. No, they're not. They don't know this. They're waiting for the Antichrist to show up. And they will believe he is the Messiah. That is so sad. I mean, if you're prone to love Jewish people and so forth, your heart goes out to them because the blindness is just so great. Unwittingly, they're going to welcome him. Amazing. All right, should have had you hold your place in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And let's look here in verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, and here's this phrase, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So he suffers a blow as up to death, and he's healed. Or is he restored? I lean more toward he's restored. There are things that you can do today. Tracy's told me about this needle, this thing that you use when people have overdosed and are dead. And you just stick that in there, you inject that, and they just pop up. So were they dead? Maybe. Were they brought back from the dead, or were they restored? Debatable. But I just don't know about dying. And so at the midpoint of the tribulation, I think all of this taking place, he breaks the covenant, goes into the temple, desecrates the temple, and then goes full throttle after the Jews and any believers whatsoever. All right? I'm going to go real quick so I can finish this. His time has not been revealed to us. And anybody that wants to spend time and go name-calling, we know that he will not be revealed until after the rapture of the body of Christ. You're wasting your time. I mean, you are wasting your time. We had somebody that came to church here years ago, and he was convinced that George Bush was the Antichrist. And he said, I know he is, and I'm going to prove it. And George Bush came, and George Bush went. And none of Revelation, none of the tribulation, none of that took place. And so now he's on another kick. It has to be somebody else. And that's the way it's been through history. Henry Kissinger was another one. You're just wasting your time is better spent studying the Word of God. Believing and not conjecturing. Because we won't be here. And we need to warn people about the wrath of God to come, because it is going to come. And the people you know that laugh at you and think you're weird, one day, if they make it to this point, will wish they had listened to what you had to say. But don't you give up on them. Just keep at it. You've got to keep at it. So where is he from? Some people say, well, they're all over the globe, and I don't know any. I think it's Mideast. That's all I know. And we do know that he has an end. So you're in Revelation. Let's go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Remember, what does chapter 13, verse 18 say? He is a man. Right? He's not a devil. He's a man. They call him the beast, but he's still a man. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Alive. No detour into hell. Straight into the lake of fire. I know no other place where somebody makes it right into the lake of fire. That's its end. You go across the page, chapter 20, verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So we know that this is coming. What we do from here is go into the tribulation period. We know that this person is coming. Islam is looking for, what is the 13th imam? I believe it's the same person. I don't think he's the false prophet. I think it's more the beast. But that's neither here nor there. He's coming. And when he comes, he will come and he will take over peaceably. And the world will, we're gone. The world will be ripe. They will be ready because of churches, hopefully not like this one, but churches that don't say anything about anything, don't warn anybody about anything, are afraid to call people out and say, you know what, you're a compromiser, you're an infidel, you're a skeptic, you should be ashamed of yourself. And they're setting them up, if they're not saved, to march like sheep to the slaughter. So, you know, I put this thing in the bulletin this morning about, you know, preachers and institutions that are compromising or apostate themselves, and they won't tell their people, they will not warn people, so that you don't care about your neighbors, your relatives, your families. Why should you care? Because you don't know anything about this. You just have positional knowledge, but without activity. And here you've got a man that is anti everything that you believe, everything that's pure that you live. He is anti. And so are these antichrists. You may say, you can't talk about, you know, I bring up Benny Hinn and I can bring up another dozen or so. Listen, they are out not to help you. They're out to compromise you. They're out to put you to sleep. I think that what they have to offer is spiritual lethal injection. That didn't feel so bad. And then you sit in your apostate rocking chair and do nothing. Come on. We got to understand. We have an enemy.
Yeah, that's right.
Then the world will have an enemy and embrace him as a friend. A leader. The answer to all their prayers. What have they been praying? And he's going to run the world in a way that, like Jacob's trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble, a time that has never been seen before. How do you beat a worldwide flood that takes out the entire population of the earth except for 8 people? How do you get worse than that? And the scripture says, that's nothing compared to what God's going to bring on the earth. Make sure you're saved. Make sure your kids are saved. Make sure your parents are saved and your husbands, your wives, your brothers, your sisters. Make sure they're saved, because if not, the chances are more than good that they're going to wind up in this time. And if they won't listen to you, make them listen to the word. Make them look at the word. And if they won't, they're responsible for themselves. They're accountable. But we're responsible to tell them. All right, let's pray. Message tonight is to save people. If you're not saved, you don't know you're saved. You're depending on something else. Your destination is already written in advance. You have a reservation, if the Lord would come today, for the tribulation. Don't pass this up. Don't postpone it. Don't reject it. Because you have one try at this. That's it. And once it's settled, it's settled. Father, speak to our hearts. We sung majestically concerning your love toward us. And the love of Christ. But we have to warn emphatically. about one that has absolutely no love, no compassion, no sympathy, no desire for anything that is pure, holy, righteous, just. His goal is destruction. His method is deception. We read in 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He is busy. His devils are busy. Are we? We have the truth. They have the lie. We have your word. They have deception. Let us take our stand boldly with the armor of God and understand the gospel of Christ is still your power unto salvation. May we give it out and stand where your word stands, whatever the cost. Be with us during this invitation, for we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.